Sri MP Pundit speaking at Auroville Mahatma Mandir Center,
Brothers and sisters, I had hoped to meet you all much earlier, but the inclement weather, physical weather, prevented me from coming to you all. It was last week that our friend Cyril spoke to me of certain mental perplexities that have been created by what happened on the 17th of November, and desired that I should come at the earliest and share my faith and certitude with you all. Somehow it could not be done earlier, but I have been thinking of all friends here and desiring to put the proper perspective before all of you. After all, an event has to be seen in the proper perspective of what all that has gone behind it, of the immediate circumstances, no doubt, but also of the horizons it opens up. I have to take you back to a casual encounter that I had on the footpath of the main ashram building some 10 years ago. As I was passing, a lady who has grown up here since her very childhood, she asked me, she stopped me. And I don't know what made her ask. She asked me, "Do you think that the mission of Sri Aurobindo and the mother will be successful this time?" Spontaneously I replied to her, "What do you mean? It has already succeeded." She was pleasantly surprised to hear me talk that way, and I explained, which explanation I shall elaborate. Those of you who have read the writings of Sri Aurobindo and the mother know that their main objective has been to bring down the consciousness of the truth level, what they call the supramental consciousness and power on earth. They declared 100 times at least that their object in taking birth has been only to manifest the truth consciousness on earth, fix it on the earth as an operative principle, and enable it to gradually transform the human life into a divine life. They pointed out that no other power except the truth power, the truth will, can do it. For thousands of years, man has tried to perfect himself, his life and his environment, but has not been able to succeed for the simple reason that every power that he marshaled and put into operation happened to be an inferior power. Not a power of truth, but a power that derived indirectly only from truth. In the long course of evolution, those of you who have read Sri Aurobindo's letters know how there had been previous manifestations to bring down from the supernal heights the highest powers conceivable at that time in the evolutionary juncture and establish it as an operative principle. We know that Rama came to evoke and set in motion the law of the sattvic mind, the enlightened mind. He was followed ages later by Krishna, who manifested the overmental consciousness, the delight consciousness of the Lord. Ages had to elapse before the next step had to be taken, and that was to bring down the vijnana, the truth consciousness, the supermind, the supramental power on earth, not for oneself, not as an individual siddhi, which the Vedic sages did years, thousands of years ago, but for the entire collectivity, something that could operate as a fixed power on earth, not as an individual realization valid only for the particular individual. That was their object. This object, at any rate in Sri Aurobindo's mind, got clarified only after he came to Pondicherry. He first formulated it, spelt it out in the Arya. When the mother joined him here, mother also speaks of the divine consciousness in her prayers and meditations. Mother has never spoken in philosophical terms, to which I should say she had a great allergy. She plainly put it, it is the divine consciousness that has to manifest and transform life. The transformation of life is another concept which will come, to which we will come later. So both in the manifesto that was printed in the Arya, they announced that to make a new age possible, to make a perfect life possible, to make a perfect man possible, a new consciousness than has been hitherto manifest has to be brought down and made active on earth. It was with that object that the mother joined him in 1920, and Sri Aurobindo accepted. Those who felt called upon to accept this ideal and strive for it. And you all know how the ashram came to be started in 1926. The day, November 24, the day when the overmental consciousness originally brought down by Krishna descended into the physical body of Sri Aurobindo, and he felt the need to retire completely, to take the next step, to concentrate all his energies and faculties on the next step, to bring down the truth consciousness. There are letters from 1928 or 26 onwards. He started having contact through letters, through correspondence, till 1938, the year he had the unfortunate accident. He carried on correspondence, wrote replies for 8 hours per day during nights. Somewhere in 1934 or so, he speaks that he is catching the tail of the supermind. Later, he speaks somewhere that it comes and goes. Mother also referred sometimes that she had seen the supramental light coming to Sri Aurobindo, staying there for a while and then withdrawing. As years went by, their efforts continued. They did not consider any things that happened in the world as irrelevant to their purpose. They paid full attention to cataclysmic events like the World War II, the political movements and revolutions in India, as part of the cosmic plan. And they strove. A situation arose somewhere in 1950 or thereabouts when Sri Aurobindo found that the earth conditions were still resistant to the descent of the supramental force. If the supramental force were to come down at that stage, things would break. We have a hymn in the Veda which speaks of the unbaked jar. Unless the jar is baked enough with sufficient consistency and strong, it cannot hold the descent of God. To speak in symbolic terms, and Sri Aurobindo found that matter, physical matter, was not yet ready to hold the descent. It was then that he took a decision to the genesis of it. I have to take you back to the years somewhere between 1923 and 1926. In one of the evening conversations, I do not know if this particular one has been printed, published, Sri Aurobindo was asked, "Have you conquered death?" He replied, "If I take a cup of poison, it cannot kill me." "That means you can't die," someone asked. He replied, "There are only three conditions under which I would leave my body. One, successful completion of my mission. Two, accident. Three, it being shown to me that it is not to be in this body." That stage had arrived in 1950. He saw, it was shown to him, that it was not, the final descent was not to be in his body. He took a decision to withdraw, and he has cured thousands and thousands of similar diseases by sheer will, by sheer writing blessings, of course putting what behind it, his force. But when that disease attacked him in 1950, he refused to cure himself. When Champaklal asked him, "Sir, why don't you cure it?" He said, "You will not understand." He had taken the decision to withdraw, but simultaneously, characteristic of his heroism, he decided to make a sacrifice of his body. As the hour was approaching, people have seen him with a gesture, pulling down. And when the thing came down, the body was shattered. That was his sacrifice. No other material vehicle could have received the descent that came that day. And as it descended, as it got fixed in his body, simultaneously the mind of light got formed in the mother. It was an equally developed Aadhar. And the mind of light, as you all know, is the physical mind being taken control of and suffused with the supramental consciousness. Mind you, the mind is not supramentalized, but the physical mind is taken charge of and suffused with by the supramental consciousness, and that is the mind of light which got formed in mother simultaneously with the shedding of the body by Sri Aurobindo. That was in 1950. those of you who were not here at that period can have no idea of the gloom that settled over the ashram community, of the shock that all friends, well-wishers received all over the world, totally and unexpectedly. But there was the mother. She assumed control. She radiated the confidence, the faith, the cheer that revived everyone and conveyed the assurance of Sri Aurobindo that he would not leave the earth atmosphere till the truth consciousness was established on earth. Thereafter, heroically, stoically, the mother continued the work, and somewhere in 1956, she was confident. Before 1956, she was pretty confident that year would see the descent of the supramental consciousness on earth, not in one body or two bodies, but on earth. She said, if I remember right, for the New Year message that year, the greatest victories are not announced by the beat of drum. If I remember right, I'm not sure of the text, this is the idea. But it took her and everyone by surprise. Events all were sitting for meditation after the Wednesday class, which was originally intended for children. Of course, all of us are for children. After the class, there was meditation. It was the 29th of February. That day, you all have read how mother came face to face with the door, and as prophesied in Savitri, she broke open the door, the dual door, and let in the stream of truth consciousness flood the earth. Mother said privately to some that when she opened her eyes, she expected that by the sheer impact of the descent, all the people on the playground will be flat. But she said, all were packing their bags to go. But as she said once, she was never disappointed because she never depended upon humanity for her work. She slaved for humanity. She did not expect the slightest return from humanity. I have seen at very close quarters. She has never, never complained. She has sympathized. She has tried to help, but never complained of lack of response, lack of support from anybody. That happened in 1956. Now, the point that I want to make is, with the descent, the flooded descent of the truth consciousness on earth, on the night of February 29, 1956, the announced objective of Sri Aurobindo and the mother to bring down on earth the power of supramental consciousness so as to form part of the earth, attainable by anybody who strives for it, that was accomplished. Still, mother did not announce it. A few days thereafter, news got round, of course, and as confidence it was exchanged from one person to another. And then I told mother. Mother has not said anything, but the word is going round that the supramental consciousness has descended. Mother didn't express any surprise, but she said, ah. And it was somewhere then that for the 29th of March, an ashram artist's painting, the Golden Purusha, was being printed, and with that prayer, the passage from the prayer, prayers and meditations, Lord, you have willed and I will execute, like that there are three things. Those things had come from the press. We were four or five of us. She took the sheets and changed. I still have got it as a memento in my room. She changed from future to present. Lord, you have willed and I shall execute. There she changed in her hand, I execute. You have promised and they will be fulfilled. They are fulfilled. Those three classic sentences she changed into present tense. That was her answer for our question, implied question whether it was true. That was a milestone in the evolutionary journey of the earth. The prime objective to achieve which they had taken birth. Thereafter, it was a question of working it out, of working out the consequences. The main thing is done. But once the supramental consciousness is established on earth, thereafter, she herself explained, it was a question of extension, larger and larger extension, so as to acclimatize the earth to the vibrations of the supramental consciousness. That work she has been doing since 1956, for the last 17 years, with many changes taking place in the earth atmosphere. That very year, 1956, one could see the repercussions of the descent of the supramental consciousness, supramental force, in the international situation. I had recently occasion to meet a senior statesman in India, and he told me how from various informations, his own deductions, he had anticipated the Suez Canal crisis, invasion by Britain and France, on the 9th of November 1956. It was intended first as a step to cut down General Nasser to size. It was intended to take place on the 9th of November so that the United States administration might not be embarrassed, as Eisenhower was to be elected into power, voted into power on 7th of November. But somehow things happened and the invasion took place on the 2nd of November. That gentleman was very much intrigued. So he took a plane, came here, and while explaining things to mother, he told him, I have never been known to be misled in my calculations. Why is it that this time things have taken me by surprise? And he explained why he anticipated all these things. Mother smiled and told him, true, you have taken all things into calculation except one important thing. Then he asked mother, what is it? She said, you have not taken into account the new force that has come down. Immediately that man woke up to the situation. And since then, no situation that could easily have led to war previously has been allowed to develop into a world war situation because of this descent of the supplemental force of harmony, of unity. A world war, I have been crying hoarse for many years, whether in my writings or in talks, a world, third world war is impossible. There may be local skirmishes, local battles on other people's territories, but a world war, impossible. Even 1% chance is not there. Because the very basis for the forces of violence and war has been struck with the establishment of the original truth of union, harmony, love, knowledge, will. A new setup has been created which enables us to confidently expect the world moving towards one world. This is but one consequence. There are more consequences. The descent of the supermind has many repercussions. Some are to be worked out on a collective scale, some to be worked out individually, but all have to be worked out. There is the question of the perfection of the mind, an infallible knowledge, attainment of power which keeps pace with the knowledge. There is the change of human nature completely into divine nature, after which alone the process of transformation is possible. There is the consequence of immortality, physical immortality or terrestrial immortality. Now all these, mind you, are consequences of some central achievement which have to be worked out slowly, gradually. Mother once said, she asked to your window, after the descent of the supermind, how long do you think the process of transformation would take place, would take? Sri Aurobindo looked up and told her, perhaps 300 years. Now it doesn't exactly mean 300 years, it gives an idea of the long period of time that is required. But Mother added, well, she was telling to us that he said 300 years, but you know, there is something like grace. Anything can take place. But in her own mind, she had no illusions. But she was a born fighter. She would always set about things with the faith that the thing will be done. I have seen even in small matters, when she wanted a thing to be done, even if we take factual information contrary to what she wants, she would not hear. Later when we ask why, Mother is normally so open-minded, why she does not hear, she said, it creates at that time contrary vibrations, which affects the work. We shall take care of those things later on. So, she started attending to this work, among many other things. The transformation of cells. There was, for her, there was no question of changing her human nature into divine nature, which for us, it is a lifetime program. She didn't have it, because she had already, during the course of the last 50 or 60 years, seen her human system, I won't say nature, taking on the divine nature. The process of transformation, she explained, means taking up each cell, persuading it to change, coaxing it to change, exposing it to the force of change, And where it resists, it had repercussions in the body as pain, which no medicine or nothing, no will could cure, she had to endure. And there are millions of cells in each body. That was a laborious and a patient process which she was ongoing. Nobody seriously expected that the entire process of transformation could be telescoped within a few years, barring, of course, a miracle. But Mother's way was never to work in miracles or to put her timetable in terms of miracles. She gave side by side with her effort from here, from below, from earth, of the transformation of the various cells in her body, step by step. Work was going on above. Sri Aurobindo, as per his promise, has been working. Her own higher being has been at it in the higher planes, preparing the new body, the supramental body, in which she is to take her embodiment as the end result of the transformation of this body, if possible, or somehow, she did not explain. The body was being prepared. She wrote in Notes on the Way descriptions of this body, part of the body, described it, how it was looking. And some 10 months ago, 10 or 12 months, she told someone, "I am trying to fuse this body, material body, into that body. But I have not been able to get the clue." She said, "Nobody on earth has tried this. The clue is not given to me." On that point, she said, there was no help from above. She was searching. This was about 10 or 11 months ago. Thereafter, if I would be right in taking you into confidence, one day it flashed to me, for no reason, that as soon as that body, luminous body, is ready, Mother may just walk into it without dying. Without dying means not dying of the body. Without the gap of consciousness, keeping up the continuity of the personality, she would walk, she would just cross into that luminous body. It just flashed me. And the way it came, I thought it was something more than just an idea. I came and noted down in my diary. I looked it up the other day. It was dated the 4th of July, 1973. I did not think it wise to speak of it to people except in my closest circle, which I did. And thereafter, one of the friends from this circle one day came to me and asked, "Why is it that for the first time I could detect a note of, a different note in your talk the other day in answer to questions regarding Mother? I did not know what to reply, but I gave him certain explanations and told him the way in which my mind was working. And I said, but I hope I will be proved wrong, that some miracle, barring a miracle, this is how my mind works." Then on the 17th of November, mind you, on the 17th of November morning, about 9 o'clock, a particular friend of mine, he has certain grounding in occult, experience, occult knowledge. Normally when we meet, we exchange notes. He told me, look, I have seen the mother's body of light. I got interested and he said, the body is full of light, the new body, but it is not yet dense enough to function in earth conditions. It is there. And as I was looking at it, I got the feeling that mother will enter this body the moment it becomes dense enough to stand and function in the earth conditions, seen or unseen. But there is no question of revival of this material body. And he added, those who are capable of seeing the mother's halo, aura, they can see, they will be able to see that luminous body. It confirmed what I had perceived some four months earlier. I told him as much. When I came back, it continued to dwell in me. And I told someone near me that I told in July like this, today there is this, perhaps it is confirmed. And that night at 7:25, as you all know, mother withdrew from her body. They say the cause was heart failure. But let me tell you, the heart failure was not the cause. The heart failure was the result of her withdrawal. She had decided, the moment things were ready, she has walked into that body. She is not passed away. She has changed her body. She has just changed her body. Not changed in the manner of the Gita, soul-changing bodies, but consciously keeping up all full personality, she has gone into that body. And as it was revealed to me on that day, I forgot to tell you, that in that body she will function, working through those instruments who are open to her, expedite the work, the remaining work, the working of the consequences. But her activity will not be confined to ashram or to Aurovim. For her, the whole world is her ashram. As I have put it, as I was led to put in my message to the radio that day, the ocean, the sea of love that the mother is, swells into an ocean. It's not a perception, not an idea, not an imagery, but an experience. I'm sure all of you feel her presence. You can't feel the presence of a dead person as you feel her. Do you feel any panic in the ashram atmosphere? Can you imagine 2,000 people who have lost their leader breathing this peace, this calm? Is there grief? Of course there is a certain pang of separation, physical separation. But she is there. Thousands of visitors who came afterwards, they have told that we were sad, we were grief-struck, we did not know what to do. We took whatever was available without thinking of the timetable, plane, trains, buses, cars. They arrived and they said within half an hour or 1 hour of arrival, their grief was completely taken away. And they felt it was worth coming. That she is here, she is not gone. She is here means not in the ashram, but she is on earth. Sri Aurobindo is there. Mother has assured us in the subtle physical world, in his supramental body, waiting for the conditions under which alone he can manifest on earth. We do not know when. that body cannot function on earth till the earth substance has been changed. The mother's body, the body that she has assumed, is nearer the earth. She is going to be the bridge between here in the subtle physical body, in the subtle physical, I mean supramental body in the subtle physical world, and this material world. Somewhere I remember Sri Aurobindo speaks of the mother as the golden bridge of fire. Well, she is the bridge. She is the bridge for all that is to come from above. For all of us who are loyal to her and who owe it to her to devote every minute of our lives to the achievement of her ideal. There looming over the whole world, and those of us who are open to her, who have love for her, who have devotion for her, they act like magnets in which her consciousness, her love, her force comes pouring down in floods. Keep that connection. Have a loving thought for her. Think of her with love. Do not think of the physical suffering through which she had to undergo during the last few years, which she bore because of us. But cheerfully, gratefully, joyfully, keep yourself at the disposal of the mother's consciousness. For her, there is no death. I remember on my last birth, on mother's birthday, 21st of February 1973, when I met her, in course of a few words that I had, I told her, absolutely, I had not thought of it a moment earlier, but in a spontaneous impulse, I told mother that if by taking my life, thy physical life can be prolonged by a day, please take it. She withdrew for a moment, held my hand, and said, life is eternal. She lived in eternity. She did not and does not live in earthly space and time. There was always a different dimension to her life and function. She once told someone, one of the workers like me, she said, if I say something now, please don't quote it against me half an hour hence, because within that half an hour, I have gone 500 miles ahead. That was years ago. That way, she did give us a glimpse into her real personality. I was watching one day, someone was talking to her. She said, but don't you see that only the part that belongs to this universe is here? You know what she means. There is no need for me to emphasize her supernatural aspects to you all. You all have faith in her, believe in her. But I am mentioning this as something which you would love to know, which you would like to know. It's not to prove anything to you. Mother was a spiritual pragmatist par excellence. I claim to be a spiritual rationalist. I would accept nothing unless it meets the demands of my common sense. So much of the common sense as I am gifted with. And I assure you, after 35 years of stay and service at the mother's feet, I am proud to tell you that she never asked me to accept anything on faith. If I ask anything, not only I, anyone, as to a child, she would explain. Anything may be waiting. She would suspend everything. And as if we have the whole eternity before us, she would start explaining. She never denied an explanation, either of her actions or of divine's actions. Everything stands explained. There is no problem for one who understands mother, who has understood her personality. If we misunderstand, if we have wishful thinking, if we have thought that she will do things for us, of course she did to a great extent, it is our fault. The teaching is great. The masters have been great. There is no question of success or failure. It is the discharge of their mission, the mission with which they were sent here. They have done it. So for 17 years, things have been spreading out all over the world, and they will continue to do it. Each one of us, however, has a responsibility to keep up the great ideal of perfection of life, transformation of human life into a divine life. Embodiment of the truth consciousness in however small a degree in the most developed part of us. More I do not say at this moment. Any questions? I will be happy to answer. Yes. Well, excuse me for interrupting you. I know what you mean. It was some years ago, before 1958. Was it 58? When mother was still going to the playground and holding classes. I think 58, was it? She said that a body born in the normal way, what is normal presently, will have a normal death. A body born in a normal way will have a normal death. Second, a body born in the normal sexual way cannot be supramentalized. A supramental body will have to come from there. What can be done is, it can be brought to the level of the Superman, but not the supramental being. The stage of complete supramentalization is far, far ahead. The word transformation has a big content. Even immortality is not central to it. Physical immortality is only a side consequence of complete transformation. Sri Aurobindo, at any rate, gave very little importance to immortality. He said all that is needed is conquest over death, freedom to shed the body when I want to change. What shall I do with this body if it won't, having the same body for over 200 years and 300 years? Mother knew very well that in the normal process, the complete transformation of the body was problematic. But she had always put X, an unknown factor, grace, the divine supreme's will, which brooks no opposition, which stands, which doesn't care for our laws and rules. Very good. So that proviso was always there. And she had told enough not to make us expect her physical body to live immortal. I frankly we had expected, those of us who have been privileged to move at closer quarters physically, that she would complete 100 years, and she had always spoken of 100 years. Even horoscopes cast in the Indian way, I do not know in the Western way, they indicated that the horoscope of the subject runs up to 100 years. But at the end of 100 years, no death was indicated. It was left to the sweet will of the person. Not one, but many astrologers have told me, not now, before, that it is up to 100 years there is the horoscope, thereafter it is left to the choice of the subject. That was our normal expectation. If she changed her decision, she took a different decision, it is because the body would not respond, would not support further working. She saw no use in continuing in that body. She went on preparing the other body during all the last 6-7 months in which she was indrawn. She was always attending to that. She kept herself by a hook in this body. And the moment she was satisfied that she can enter, she has done it. There are interpretations and interpretations. Each one has to accept what feels true, not sounds true, feels true to him. You can't hold her in a formula. There has been no parallel to mother in the spiritual history of mankind. There may have been parallels to Sri Aurobindo, but not to mother. She is unique. You can't apply any comparison, hold any comparison. What she spoke was scripture. What she did was supreme law. She has prepared us even when she was in the physical body. to face the situation. She is there guiding, leading us. All these little controversies, they pale into insignificance before the grandeur of her personality, the splendid horizons opened by them for man. Man, she has set man on the highway to God. You will see, I tell you, you will see her work being expedited now. She will work more effectively now in her luminous body than she was allowed to in her material physical body. I do not speak of the ashram so much as an institution, but of Auroville, the future of man. Her work in the world, progression towards one mind, one world, unity of the world, the forces of harmony, the forces of love, radiations of love, you will see how they gather, how they are marshaled. A great change will come over the world by being precipitated by her from there. To arrive at our highest possible perfection. By arriving at our highest possible perfection, we are creating the field for the intermediate race, the race of Superman. That race of intermediate race, the Superman, will be the field in which the supramental beings will manifest. How? They will take birth. What is called birth is a secret that nature or supernature have not yet revealed to us. The time is not there. You have to take it that for what is not done today by mother, the time has not come. Earth conditions were not ready. Her body was a reflex of the whole earth. All the resistances and difficulties in physical matter were projected in her physical body, and she had to tackle each cell in a representative manner. That was why all the difficulty, that was why the decision. Do you mean to say that if she wanted individual transformation, she could not have done it? She had only to ask for it. And by a miracle, she could do it, but she would not. She herself told me once in another context, when I asked her some question about some recalcitrant natures in others, recalcitrant habits in myself, when I asked her, she said, look, if I do like this, all I can make a change, all people I can change, but I do not want it. I want people to learn and change naturally. A change induced by me, miraculously, has no value for them. She wanted us to change in a natural way of evolution. She did not believe in doing things through miracles. And that is a good deal, to arrive at the highest possible state of perfection. That means, gentlemen, first psychicization, to bring the psychic being within ourselves in the front of our nature, let it govern all our movements, body, life and mind. Extension, cosmicization, universalization of our consciousness, so that the beats of the heart of the world can be felt in me. Thereafter, a spiritualization. Above the mind, above the terrestrial universe, all the levels of consciousness, they are to be scaled. After these three are done to their maximum, psychicization, universalization and spiritualization, all these three processes are complete, then only you can say man has arrived at the highest possible perfection normally open to him. Thereafter arises the process of supramentalization and its further consequence of transformation.
November 29th, 1906.